Redeemer, and soon coming King, Jesus Christ. That's the promise from the Word of God, that we have the victory because Jesus Christ got up from the grave. And he got up, and the Bible tells us because he got up, we'll get up as well. And at a time like this, that's what he wants us to be thinking about. Amen. Amen. I have the charge of bringing the eulogy today. Don't plan on being long. We need to be out and done, but we'll do what we need to do to share a word of encouragement to the family and challenge to all of us at a time like this when we have that tendency to think about the brevity of life more so than at any other time. So let me start with a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful today for your faithfulness, your love for us that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we thank you, Lord, as the words of that song ring true in the hearts of all of those who know you, that Jesus Christ won the victory over darkness, over death, over sin, over the grave. And for that, we say praise you, Father. And we praise you because of the victory of Jesus Christ that he conquered. And your word tells us that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we come to thank you and to praise you and to lift up the name of Jesus. Father, we lift up this family before you, and we thank you for them. Thank you for their love for Jarrell Hawkins. And we're grateful as we have an opportunity to encourage them to remember his love for them. Lord, we pray your comfort, your strength, your hope would fill their lives as they move forward. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. 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 We've gathered here today to celebrate the life of Jarrell Hawkins. And I'll quickly say that his body is there, but Jarrell is not there. You can see his body, but he is not there. But we've come to share with you truth from the Bible to encourage you to press on with your lives, even in the absence of the man you called husband and dad and granddad, friend, uncle, whatever he was to you. To be sure, you'll miss him. To be sure, there will be days when you all feel the pain of not having him present. To be sure, you'll spend some time in the room of grief that is inevitable when someone that we love dies. Yet, you can live on and you can move forward and live a life filled with memories of Jarrell Hawkins that remind you of who he was to you. Two things I want to encourage you to remember as you press on into the future without the physical presence of Jarrell Hawkins. First, we want to encourage the family and friends of Jarrell to remember him as a man who loved hard. And in the days ahead, remember that he was a man who loved you well. I met Mr. Hawkins, met him several times. He'd come up here with Sister Gail, but I did not know him personally like that, did not have that opportunity. But I know him through you all and what you have shared and a little bit that I know about him. But family, you all have presented the evidence that he loved hard and he loved you well. 49 or 50 some odd years of marriage is credible evidence that he was a committed husband and bent on being a strong support and provider for you, Sister Hawkins. Remember that he was there with you and for you. Hold on to the fond memories of him being there many a morning to greet you at the stairs with that hot cup of tea or coffee. Remember the demonstration of his love for you when he would get up to take you to work in the wee hours of the morning. Remember that. Remember him as the man who stayed with you for those 50 some odd years and lived up to the words of Scripture, till death do us part. Remember that. Remember him as the man of your life who fully embraced you as his partner for life. Remember his commitment to you. Be encouraged, children and grandchildren of Jarrell Hawkins, as you remember your dad as a man who demonstrated a heart of sacrificial love for you. Remember that he was there for you as a man who truly loved his family. Not a perfect man, not a perfect father. None of us are we? No one in here is perfect. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But nonetheless, he was a man who was committed to being engaged with you in life, a man who was present with you and there for you. Remember his cooking that people have talked about, that brought you not only to the table for a meal, but remember his cooking as times from a dad who brought you together as a family. Family time so important, and he obviously understood that. He cooked not just to feed you, but to bring you together. And remember that he shared through that his example of family values that you, no doubt, are passing on to your own children. Remember that he was a dad who paid attention to you and listened to you. You can laugh as you remember his great sense of humor and the times that he would pick up the mic, if you will, and take center stage as the family comedian. Remember that. Allow yourselves to remember the joy that he brought to the family. Remember his quiet strength. His quiet strength that enabled him to set parameters for you, that taught you right from wrong. Remember that. Remember him as a dad who did not hesitate to sacrifice, to give up his own scarf in a cold winter, and to put himself out for his daughters. Remember that, a man who sacrificed, who didn't hesitate to give himself so that you were well cared for. Remember the man, Jarrell Hawkins, who loved hard and loved you well. But secondly, I want to encourage you above the things that you'll remember about Jarrell, and it's important that you have those good memories, that you cling to them. But I want to encourage you above the things that you'll remember about Jarrell by saying that you can face the days ahead without him on this earth with hope by fixing your eyes on Jesus Christ and remembering his promise of eternal life. Remember Jesus and what Jesus said. John 14, 1 through 6, Jesus talking to his disciples, he said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." I believe that Jarrell would want you to remember those words, as I believe he remembered them, especially in the final days of his life. And we want to help you, family and friends, to receive comfort from the word of our Lord through the knowledge of the resurrection and hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Out of all the things that were shared with me from the family and shared today about Jarrell, the most important thing was that he truly committed his life to Jesus Christ in his final days. I know the obituary says that he trusted Christ at an early age, but the fact that in his final days, Jesus was on his mind, and Jarrell saw fit to communicate his belief in him as the forgiver of his sins and savior of his life. It speaks volumes of where his mind and his heart were in those final days. See, I believe that Jarrell knew that the end of his physical life on this earth was not the end of life. He saw that because of Jesus, death is not the end. Death would not hold him down, but that death was the doorway that leads to our eternal home with Jesus Christ. Jesus said in verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Trouble means that something causes you to have an acute emotional turbulence and mental distress in your life. But Jesus told his disciples, he says, "Don't let your hearts go there." Oh, you'll be pulled in that direction. But don't let your minds get that stirred up and go into an uncontrollable mental tailspin and lose control. You don't have to go there. Jesus stated these words to his disciples because he had informed him that he was going away. And where he was going was to the Father. See, Jesus understood then, and he understands now, the deep sorrow that could come on his disciples and that can come on you. He knew the anguish of the soul that could linger when he left. So before he went to the cross to sacrifice his life for us, Jesus told us disciples to not allow themselves to become emotionally disturbed. And Jesus was saying, although I must go through this brutal death and you must experience the pain of watching the one you love die, don't worry. Don't lose your emotional equilibrium. Death is not the end. The death of a loved one can disturb our minds and hearts, can it? I think all of us in here can attest to that. We've lost people in our minds and our hearts. Go to places that we may not want it to go. It can cause us to experience no small amount of that emotional turbulence. Fear, frustration, worry, anger, severe sadness. These may be normal responses when loss is suffered through death. Death is not an easy pill to swallow. Death is not our friend. There is a sting to death. It hurts. You don't have to suppress the reality of grief. Grieving is part of the process of being able to move on. So let yourself grieve. You can and should allow yourself to feel the pain of the moment. But Jesus' instruction here is to not let your hearts be troubled. Don't let yourself go into that acute emotional turbulence and mental distress. Don't be troubled. Troubled about what? Troubled about what happens after death. Troubled at the thought of not seeing Jesus again. Troubled at the thought of not seeing Jarrell again. Troubled about not seeing again those we love who die. Jesus said it is imperative for us not to let our hearts be troubled. Why not? Why was he so emphatic? Why the strong emphasis on not letting your hearts be troubled? How could he say that when he was going to die? Because although death is painful, death is not the end. It's not the end. Jesus said, "Believe in God and also believe in me. Believe in Father God and believe in me, the Son of God, God the Son." Your hearts don't have to be stirred down with fear or ongoing frustration. You don't have to drown in a sea of depression and lose your zest for living. When you believe in Father God and believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he died on the cross for your sins and that he conquered death when he rose from the grave on the third day, Jesus said, "Come to me and I'll give you rest. I'll help you with that." The Bible says that what will help you the most when you are confronted with the reality of death and the emotions that you'll experience, what will help you the most is believing in the living God. We don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a living Savior. Yes, yes. Coming to Jesus, being confident that what he said in the Bible is true. Yes. That will get you through. Amen. What does he want us to believe him about? That through his death, we receive forgiveness of our sins and there's life beyond the grave. And we're going to get brand new bodies that never die. And our eternal home is with Jesus. These old bodies are wasting away, aren't they? And we get old. Aches and pains. We feel it. We know it's upon us. But Jesus said, "Don't be troubled. Don't let your hearts be disturbed, because this life is temporary. And we all must go the way of death. We all must face the reality of our own mortality. We are not in control as much as we think we are. We are not in control. Death is imminent for us all. And it can come at any time. At any time. And when it's time to die, being vaccinated can't keep death away from you. Have we come to that realization? Being vaccinated cannot keep death away from you. A booster shot has no power to extend our time on this earth. When the Lord says our time on this earth is finished, God alone is sovereign, and he alone knows the number of our days. And we must face the reality not only of physical death, but of spiritual death as well. That's what Jesus was concerned about. See, to be spiritually dead is to be separated from God because you haven't repented and believed in Jesus so that your sins are forgiven through his precious blood. Spiritual death means you spend life after physical death in eternal torment because you haven't believed in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus said that he was coming back. He was going to the Father, and they were going to get the house ready. Jesus wants us to be comforted with the truth that he's preparing an eternal place for us. For whom? For those who believe in him. He told the disciples that the Father had a house that had many rooms. Now, I must say this all the time. So some people are waiting to get their mansion in heaven. Well, I say again, I'm not sure that the point Jesus was making here had to do with a physical structure. In fact, I know it doesn't. But one thing I know for sure is that Jesus was making the point that everyone who believes in him has an eternal place in the house of God. The Father's house has plenty of room for everyone who believes in Jesus. He turns no one away who puts their trust and faith in him. Not living a good life, but believing in a good Savior. No one has to worry about being homeless. No one has to worry about being a displaced refugee. No one who believes in Jesus has to worry about being turned away at the border of heaven. No one has to worry about living in substandard housing. No one has to worry about being a slumlord not taking care of the house, because for those who believe in Jesus Christ, there's plenty of room in the Father's house. See, Jesus was making this clear as well. He was making the point to the disciples and to us that our final resting place is not the grave, but rather it is being with him and being with the Father and being with those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ. He said in verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will, that's a promise, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will, I'm coming back. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. Jesus said, I'm going, and I have to go by way of the cross. I have to sacrifice my life on the cross for the sins of the world. I have to do that. But I'm coming back. I'm going to rise from the dead, and I'm going to get your eternal home ready. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I am coming back to get you. Don't be troubled thinking that we'll be separated forever. I'm coming back to get you. Don't be troubled. Don't trouble your heart thinking that you won't see Jarrell Hawkins again. If you believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, Jesus is coming back to get you to live in the Father's house with Jarrell Hawkins. And the Bible tells us there's going to be a great getting up morning. Because Jesus Christ is coming back, 1 Thessalonians tells us. He's coming back, break open the clouds, and he's going to coming with those who have already died in the Lord. And all those who are remaining, he's going to call us up. We're going to be changed, transformed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we'll all meet together to be with the Lord forever. See, the emphasis of our Lord was not so much on people being in a particular location, but rather on people being with him. and his people being with one another. You all are family. I see the family connection, the closeness. Jesus was about family. He was about the family of God. And he says, one day I'm coming back and we're all going to be together, being with those who accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Here is the promise of life after death. Jesus is preparing a place for those who believe. And he promised that he is coming back to receive those who are spiritually alive through faith in him. He's preparing that place, but the question is, are you prepared for him to come and get you? Are you prepared for him to come and get you? According to the Bible, many are not prepared. Jesus said in the Gospel of John that those who have not believed are condemned already. Why is that? Because they have not believed in Jesus Christ. Many are self-deceived, thinking that they can be all right with God without repenting of their sin and accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. Many think that they do good things and that makes them right with God, but it doesn't. No, there's only one way, the Bible tells us, and that one way is Jesus Christ himself. I believe that Jarrell Hawkins, if he could talk to you now, and again, I want to point back to you family and everybody to the fact that he had the state of mind to say, I need to make this commitment to Jesus Christ. I need to really accept him as Lord and Savior of my life. He loved you all, obviously. He loved all of you, but in those final days, his mind was on Jesus. It was on Jesus. And I believe that if Jarrell could talk to you now, he would want you to know the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As he cared for you in life, he would want you to be cared for in death. Jarrell would want to make sure that you knew the way to make it to the Father, that to Father God's eternal home, to be with him, was through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You may ask, just as Thomas asked, how do I get there? I want to go to the Father's house. I want to see Jesus, but how do I get there? Jesus gives the answer in verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, he took on all our sins. He suffered the punishment. It's a great understanding of truth that we don't have to suffer punishment for our sins, that Jesus Christ paid the price. And when we believe in him, the Bible says we have the promise of eternal life. That's the way. Jesus is the way. Not going to church, not doing good things, not being a righteous person is not our righteousness, because the Bible says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. No, it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's the only way to have your sins forgiven and to be assured of eternal life and having a place in the Father's house. He's the only way to see Jarrell again. I want to encourage you, if you have not submitted your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you to submit yourself to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. I believe that Jarrell Hawkins heard the voice of Jesus on August 13th. Jesus told him to come home. It's time for you to rest from the struggles and pains of this life. Maybe the Lord helped Jarrell to reach back and remember the truth conveyed in Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this life, because he suffered in his final days, right? He went through some pain. But maybe our Lord helped him to remember and brought him to the state of mind that Jesus would be on his mind. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to reveal to us. The pains of this life are temporary. Jarrell Hawkins, having repented and committed his life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he is really home now. He is really at rest now. He is at peace now. And he's out of pain. out of the pain that he was valiantly enduring over the last months of his life. Jarrell Hawkins, as you have put that scripture in there, he fought the good fight of faith and looked to Jesus Christ at the end of his days. And I believe that as much as he loved you all, and you know that he loved you, as much as he loved you all, he wouldn't want to come back. He wouldn't want to come back because he's at home with Jesus. He wouldn't want to come back because he's found his rest in the Lord who loves him. And he wouldn't want to come back because he's found his peace in the arms of his Savior. And I say finally, you can find peace as well. We all can find peace by repenting and believing in Jesus Christ and taking hold of his promise that I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I'm coming back to get you, to take you home to be with me and with the Father. Do you believe that? Won't you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And won't you say, Lord, I know I need you. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm in need of a Savior. And I want to be with you again and see you. And I give my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you that you got up from the grave. Thank you that you promised eternal life to me because I have believed in you. Won't you say, you can say that simple prayer before the Lord if you truly believe, not just the mouthing of words, but if you believe it in your heart that Jesus Christ, God the Son, died on that cross, got up from the grave. The Bible says that God loved you so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will never perish but have eternal life. It's real. You can have eternal life today if you put your trust in Jesus Christ. And I encourage you and challenge you to accept him as Lord and Savior. Won't you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father God, we thank you. Thank you for the promise of Jesus, our Savior. And Father, we know that Jarrell is resting. He's in his eternal home with you, in eternal place with you, Lord. And we pray for those that are left behind. And we pray that they would hear your heart, hear your call to accept Christ in their life. Lord, I do pray that they would remember Jarrell, remember the good things about him, and remember his love for them. But Lord, I pray above that, that they would remember the words of Christ, that those who believe in him will never perish, but have eternal life. Father, I pray your encouragement for this family. We pray your strength for this family. We pray that they would have great hope in the future, Lord God, and that they would keep their eyes fixed on Jesus, that they would be encouraged by him. Help them to continue to stick together as a family. But Lord, may they stick together in the family of God. Lord, we thank you, and we love you, and we give you the praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Ask Holt, W.W. Holt, if they will come. The family does want a final review, so we'll do that expeditiously here. And afterwards, we will close out. We need to make it to the cemetery. The ushers will direct you.
Yes, the Lord our God is omnipotent. The Lord our God, He is wonderful. All praise, hallelujah, salvation. The Lord.
Amen. Amen. If we can get six ladies willing to come and take the flowers, they want to take them right next door here for the repast. If we can get six people who will come and help with the flowers here. We're waiting on Sister Gail to come up to make her final review. While we're doing that, we'll take the flowers. Sister Barbara. Thank you.